Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. He's been super duper fabulous this week, and I know he'll excel next week as well. I'll be on vacation, but Rob Setter will stay on as our fabulous producer. So check out the interviews. We'll have a lot of best of interviews next week, but Ali Stevens will have a couple of live interviews, but not with the guest we have on board right now. Movie Mike McGranahan is here, professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com, staff writer for Ranker and a member of the Critics' Choice Association. Follow him on Twitter at aisleseat, and his appearance is always sponsored by the Campus Theater, campustheater.org. He and I are both going to be on vacation. Maybe we'll go someplace together.
Let's do it.
That would be fun. Okay, so Movie Mike McGranahan, welcome aboard. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
And we're going to start out with your review of Thor, Love and Thunder.
Thor, Love and Thunder is the movie that turns the Marvel Cinematic Universe into a great big joke. Chris Hemsworth returns for his fourth outing as Thor, and this time he's taking on a powerful god killer played by Christian Bale. Meanwhile, girlfriend Natalie Portman is dying of cancer, so she allows the mighty hammer to turn her into a female Thor in an effort to survive. The last Thor movie, Ragnarok, moved the series in a more comedic direction. Love and Thunder runs with that ball to disastrous effect. It's hard to take Thor seriously, because he's no longer a superhero, he's a comedian, constantly making wisecracks and engaging in physical comedy. Elsewhere, the movie has a running joke about screaming goats, a talking dumpling, several cheesy celebrity cameos, and Russell Crowe playing Zeus by wearing a skirt and talking in a silly accent. Those things would be okay if they were hilarious, but for the most part, they aren't. It was also a terrible decision to put all this wacky comedy alongside a plot thread about Portman's character having stage 4 cancer. The film never figures out how to make those two things exist naturally in the same space. Bale is very good as the villain, even if he doesn't get enough to do, and there's a cool black and white sequence near the end. Mostly, though, Thor, Love and Thunder jumps the shark. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 2 Lokis.
Lokis?
Yes, Loki is Thor's brother, who was a important figure in the previous Thor movies.
Oh, okay.
But does not appear in this one.
Okay, he's also in the History Channel's Vikings series, too, so I was wondering. Okay, so Love and Thunder kind of falls short. Well, I saw the trailer. I couldn't watch to the end. It just seemed like too disjunctive, so that kind of carries through to that aspect might carry through.
Yeah, and I think that, again, they pushed the comedy too far here. Thor Ragnarok was really funny, but it was still a superhero movie, and this time they're essentially pushing the superhero stuff to the back burner and making it more of a flat out comedy, and I don't think that works. And really, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they're in what they call Phase 4 of it right now. And Phase 4 has been a huge disappointment. A couple of the movies have been okay, but Eternals was incredibly boring. I didn't care for Shang-Chi. That was a big hit, but I felt that that was just kind of recycling other Marvel movies. Spider-Man No Way Home was a huge hit. I didn't think that was the greatest. It was good, but not great. And now we've got Thor Love and Thunder, which is just a dud. So they're not hitting the home runs that they were hitting earlier on, and I think part of the reason is that they're just repeating things over and over again, or they're pushing things too far, as they do with the comedy here in Love and Thunder.
But even their duds do well?
Yeah, they all do well. I mean, Spider-Man No Way Home was the biggest hit of last year and is one of the biggest hits of all time. I'm sure that me saying I was, you know, a little mixed on it, people were probably like, what? But, you know, I had some structural problems with that. I did like it, but I felt like it was just way too much fan service, and that detracted from the story. And that's kind of what's happening with these movies. They're so intent on throwing in these moments designed to make the fans go nuts and pay reference to other characters and, you know, have this moment and that moment. And it's just getting repetitive, and it's just not working to the same degree that it was before.
Now, is there hope in this genre? Are there other Marvel Universe movies coming out that show promise of creativity and, you know, could be real breakthroughs?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, we're supposed to get Black Panther sequel later this year, but Chadwick Boseman died, so he was such an integral part of why the first one worked. I'm not sure how that's going to go. There's another Captain Marvel movie on the way. I did like the first one of those, although some people were a little more mixed on it. There's a third Guardians of the Galaxy, but we've already seen Guardians of the Galaxy twice, so whether they can pull that off a third time, I'm not sure. So we have to wait and see, but I would definitely put this Phase 4 of the MCU dead last if I was ranking the different phases of it.
All right, and these movies have broad appeal. All ages are seeing these?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, they do very well. Thor Love and Thunder opened to, I think it was $145 million last weekend. But it's going to be interesting. I have a feeling that this is not going to be one of their top grossers. I think this is going to drop pretty heavily, because I've talked to other people, non-critics, who have seen the film and kind of felt the same way. They maybe liked it, but they felt like it was way too much comedy and not enough of the superhero action that they wanted.
Okay, all right. Well, you do need a little escapist superhero action. I mean, that's
right.
Perfectly understandable. All right. So you gave it two Lokis, a reference to Thor's brother. All right. You have some other mini reviews here. We'll run through those. Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
This is the nicest surprise of the summer movie season. It opens nationwide today, including at our AMC. And this is a movie that, you know, I would not have necessarily expected to like as much as I did. It takes place in 1950s England, and it stars Leslie Manville, great British actress, and she plays Mrs. Harris. She's a house cleaner who has never been able to afford anything luxurious for herself. And she comes into some money, decides she's going to go to London and buy a Christian Dior dress. And she crashes a fashion show, and the great French actress Isabelle Huppert plays the gatekeeper of Dior, who does not want this house cleaner coming in. It's not think she's worthy of buying a Dior dress. And the movie is about how Mrs. Harris gets a dress anyway, and what happens as she comes up against these people who feel that because she's not rich, that she does not deserve to have a little luxury in life or does not deserve to feel good about herself. So great performances from Leslie Manville and Isabelle Huppert. And the movie this reminded me of was Caddyshack. Not that they're similar in terms of tone or story, but you know, Caddyshack is only about golf on the surface. It's really about elitism and about how the working class people knock the rich snobs down a peg. And Mrs. Harris kind of does that in this movie, too. It's about how she wins the support of the Dior workers who don't get paid enough to buy the very products they make, and about how she kind of triumphs and knocks these people down a peg. And it's just really funny, and if you want to feel good for 2 hours, Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris, it's what they would, you know, kind of stereotypically call a women's picture. But guys, don't be afraid of this. It's a really good, engaging, funny movie. So 3.5 stars for that opens today.
3.5 at theaters. All right. And Brian and Charles, about a man who invents a robot.
This is probably the funniest movie I've seen this year. It opens today at the Campus Theater. It's been out for a few weeks, but today it opens at the Campus Theater, and that's why I wanted to talk about it. It's about this lonely kind of goofball guy who invents a lot of things that don't work, and one day he decides he's going to invent a robot, which oddly does work. And the robot in this movie is hysterical. It's Charles. He's the Charles half of it. And the character is made out of a washing machine and a mannequin head, and he has this robotic voice. And, you know, and it's just such an absurd character, but so vivid. And everything that Charles does in this movie made me laugh hysterically. So it's one of those weird, quirky little comedies. It doesn't have a whole lot of plot. I'm not going to say it's a great film in that sense, but everything Charles said and did absolutely had me on the floor laughing. So Brian and Charles, 3 stars. Again, one of the funniest movies I've seen this year, and that opens today at the Campus Theater in Lewisburg.
All right. And he's got a big chest. I saw that in the trailer, and I'm not going to give anything else away, but it is pretty funny. So
yeah, right. Really, really good movie.
Okay. All right. Fabulous. Well, we'll look for that at the Campus Theater.
Yes.
Campustheater.org. In case our sponsor wants to hear that again. Latest box office numbers, what's still leading the way there?
I mean, box office is doing great. Anybody who thought the movies were dead is completely wrong. Thor Love and Thunder opened to $145 million. Minions opened 2 weeks ago. It's already over $200 million. Top Gun Maverick just crossed $600 million on Monday. So, you know, between those and Doctor Strange and Jurassic World Dominion, there's just been a lot of blockbusters this year. People are turning out, and the movies are doing very, very well.
And other movies that are making less money are in the black, per se, or are also being seen at theaters?
We're going to have more of that in the second half of the summer, because now we're at the point where all of the big sequels are gone. Everything from here on out in the summer is a more original property. So we'll see if they're able to sustain the momentum generated by the franchise films. But there are a couple that do seem like they have the potential to be real breakout hits.
Right,
so I'm
optimistic. We'll keep an eye on that and keep us up to date. Armie Hammer is selling timeshares? Is that true?
Armie Hammer, you know, the actor, of course, he was involved in a very big scandal. He was accused of sexual assault. There was all this controversy about some emails and messages he had sent that expressed very disturbing fetishes and things like that. And he lost all his work in Hollywood. He's persona non grata in Hollywood now. And it came out this week that he's actually living and working in the Cayman Islands selling timeshares. So big fall from grace for Armie Hammer, yeah.
All right, but no criminal charges at this time?
Nothing yet, no. But hopefully he's getting some help for his issues while he's down there as well.
All right, on the comedic side, a Fletch reboot is coming?
Yeah, they've been trying to reboot Fletch literally since the 90s. You remember the 80s movie with Chevy Chase, my favorite movie. And they got a new one together. It stars John Hamm taking over for Chevy Chase. It's called Confess Fletch. And a lot of people were really excited about this, but they announced this week that the movie's just going to play theatrically on a limited basis, and it'll go day and date with video on demand. That'll be September 16th, and then it'll premiere on Showtime on October 28th. So Confess Fletch not getting the kind of big, wide release you might suspect from rebooting a very popular film from the 80s.
And you have not seen it yet.
No, I'm dying to, because I'm a big fan of the movie Fletch, but also of the Gregory MacDonald novels, and this is based on one of those novels. It's a great book, so I'm real interested to see what they do with it. Now, I'm not saying it's bad because of this release pattern, but they obviously don't think it's going to be all that commercial.
Okay, you're on vacation next week, but you are going to provide a recorded review. What do you think you'll be looking at by then?
I'm going to see Where the Crawdads Sing this weekend, so I'll probably give you a review of that one next week.
Where the Crawdads Sing. We'll look forward to the analysis and the explanation behind that. Thank you so much, Movie Mike. Enjoy your week off, and we appreciate you always coming in. Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic, a women in cinema advocate, sponsored by Campus Theater. Check them out at campustheater.org.